turning there, Miss, there's a certain lady in this church, she sends you cards when you're sick and things like that. I'm not going to call her name, but her initials is Miss Judy. Anyhow, she sent something that I thought was kind of appropriate. I don't know if she shared any of this with you or not, but how many of you remember Red Skelton? He was a true comedian. If he's ever been a true comedian, he was a true comedian. It was all ad lib in those days. Red Skelton has a recipe for the perfect marriage. He says, 2 times a week we go to a nice restaurant, have a little beverage, good food, and companionship. She goes on Tuesday and I go on Friday. He says, we also sleep in separate beds. Hers is in California and mine's in Texas. He says, I take my wife everywhere, but she keeps finding her way back. I asked my wife what she wanted for her anniversary. Something where I haven't been in a long time, and I suggested her go to the kitchen then. There's just a few of those. But in Isaiah, do you remember also? Whatever the postage was at that time, it said, pray for Jerusalem, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know, if there's one thing that is needed today, we're living in turbulent times. And if there's something that we need today, it is to know peace and to understand peace. I thought about this passage for several weeks and this message as I made preparation about what it is to really have peace. And, you know, we talk about, there's so much talk about peace and so many things, but are there peace to be had? Someone has rightly said, peace is one of the most elusive things. And I thought about that. And whenever you make the application to it as a thing, yes, it is elusive. Yet everyone says that they want peace, but in spite of all the talks and the meetings and the efforts of various kind, it seems like that peace cannot be. Whether one's local, national, international level, see, it can never be had as long as we think in terms of a thing. But it's more than a thing. It is a person. And I want us to look at that. So if you have your Bible, you got Isaiah 26:3. Also turn to Romans, or I'll just read to Romans 5:1. You know the verse by heart probably. But in what Isaiah's prophesied as peace, and we know that in the early chapters of Isaiah, he's one who, the gospel is in the book of Isaiah because he foretells of the coming of the Messiah, and he says that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. And here he says this, and I want us to look at it very close. Would you stand for the reading of God's word and then remain standing for prayer? He says in chapter 26, verse 3, he says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. That term perfect peace is a double. It is peace, perfect peace, double peace if you please, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And then Paul puts the new dimension to it as we move into the New Testament after Jesus has come on the scene. And he says this in Romans 5:1. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, once again, we bow to give you thanks for the privilege we have to come and to assemble ourselves in this place of worship, at the time of worship. Set aside for that purpose, Lord, this place is a place of worship. And we come, Lord, together as a fellowship, as a body of believers. And we realize, Lord, from the Sunday school lesson this morning that fellowship is more than just a coming together. It is a commonness, a communion together where we have something in common, and that common denominator is Jesus Christ himself. So we come in recognition of being in fellowship with him. And Lord, if there's one here that is not in fellowship with him, we pray that before we leave this place tonight, that they will come to know what it means to have that unique fellowship with him again. Father, I pray tonight that you would just have your will and way accomplished as we look together in your word. And Lord, I would pray that you would open the ears of our understanding, open our hearts that they may be receptive to your will and to your word. Lord God, as you speak to us through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit, we pray, Lord, that you would dominate this place tonight and you would captivate our thinking and our very being, and Lord, that you would speak to our hearts as only you can. Lord, we come asking you once again to bless and to be with those that are hurting, those that are going through the difficult and trying times of life, those that's lost loved ones, those on our prayer list, those that were mentioned tonight. God, we just pray that you would work in the circumstances of their life, because many times it is in and through the circumstances of life that you make us aware of who you are and what you desire and want in our life. So, Father, tonight, we just commit it all to you, and we ask you to do and to have your will accomplished. Forgive us, O God, where we fail you. And once again, we thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. We look to you with great anticipation and expectation of what you're going to work in our lives. Father, have your will accomplished is our prayer and heart's desire in the name above every name, Jesus Christ our Lord, for your glory and your honor. Amen and amen. As we think about the term peace, what are the prospects of peace? As I thought about the message tonight, what are the prospects of peace? When we think about peace, what do we think about? You know, there's a lot of speculation. Some people think of peace as that which when we have free from all problems and troubles, when we have that quiet serenity of spirit in our being. But it's more than just that. And many times, many people don't understand and don't know and will never have that, because within their own heart and the confines of their own life, there are turmoils that are going on, there are problems that are going on, and really can never come to grips with what real peace is all about. And that's why I present to you tonight that peace is not a thing, but it is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I will say this, from the very onslaught, from the very beginning, you cannot have, or anyone else cannot have, peace until they come to know Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. But what about this peace that Isaiah spoke of? What about the peace that Paul talks about as we look at some of the scriptures tonight? What is he talking about? We're going to have a little Bible study, if you will, because I believe that causes us to grow closer to him, because as we get into the Word will get into us. Did you know that? And as we think about the Word, and we meditate, as we talked about last Sunday, as we meditate on the Word, as we think about it, as we muse over and mutter the Word, we come to realize the significance of it and the meaning of it in our life. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Peace, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. This is a foretaste and a foretelling of the one who will bring this kind of peace. And that's what Isaiah talked about in the opening chapters, where he said his name will be called the Prince of Peace, because he's the one who rules and reigns, not only a dominion, but also in the hearts and lives of those who will surrender and submit themselves to him as the prince of their life, as the leader in their life. So tonight, what about this peace? What about this peace? Let's look at some more scripture about this kind of peace. First of all, we see that it is a purchased peace. When I say it is a purchased peace, Paul talks about this in Colossians 1:20. He tells us that it came to us at a price and a cost. And as we look at that, this is what it says, if you want to turn there. Look, it says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. See, the all things is what he wants to look at and focus on, because he can bring it all together. He can reconcile all things to himself, because he paid the price. He paid the cost that you and I not only can have salvation, and we look at that and we think about that. Yes, it's true. But also, he wants us to have this kind of peace, the peace that passes all understanding. 1 Peter 1:18 tells us this. It comes at a great value, exceptional value. And this is what he said: for as much as ye know, not think or hope, but know, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers. Verse 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without spot and without blemish. What is Peter saying there? He's telling us of the exceptional value and what Jesus did, because he was the perfect Lamb of God. As John said when he saw him coming on the scene, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." But he did not stop there. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." When we think about him taking away and the capacity to take away the sin of the world, we know that sacrificial system, and we know that they used those lambs that were without spot and without blemish, and Jesus fulfilled that because there was no sin in him. If there had been sin like some of our politicians say that he was, then he could not have been the sacrifice for your sin and my sin. And those who will get up on television and tell you that they've read this book and they said it is an instructional book that I have read, and that's the past tense. You know, that's the way a lot of people look at it. It's an instructional book. I've read through it, and that's the end of it. But I got news for you. It is not just a book you pick up and read, and that's the end of it. When you take the Word of God and you study the Word of God, it becomes the living Word of God, because it is alive and it speaks to our heart and the circumstances and the situations that we're going through today. And you wonder why we're in such a mess? It's because people do not get into the Word of God, especially some of the politicians that get on television and say that. They just said that to appease those, what you call conservative votes, I guess we'd say. But anyhow, that's neither here nor there. When we think about the Word of God, the significance of the Word of God, when we think about the meaning of what it says to us, that's why as a people of God, we need to be in the Word of God. And Paul, this is what Peter said, "For as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things." And he uses silver and gold. Do you think that's corruptible today? We would think that's some of the purest things we have, is silver and gold. But Peter uses from the terminology that it is corruptible when it comes up against the things of God. Because let me tell you, one day it won't make no difference what your portfolio has, how much gold, how much silver you got, because it won't matter a rip. Not one rip will it matter. But when we understand and recognize that Jesus Christ has purchased us, he has paid the debt in full for us. I like that song. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but what did he do? He washed it white as snow. Thank God for that. Man, you talk about a miracle. That is a miracle, is it not? We think about a lot of things as miracles. People say miracles don't happen. Let me tell you something. Every time somebody gets saved, that's a miracle. One of the greatest miracles in all the world. It's salvation that comes to mankind, fallen mankind. So we see that Peter says that here it is a value, exceptional value. Did you see the undercover boss this week? I just happened to come in whenever they had it on. I don't do too much of that stuff, watching TV too much. But anyhow, come in and they had it on. And I forgot the company's name now. But anyhow, he's coming back and bringing all of them before him to evaluate their life and what he found out as he slipped in, you know, and worked with them. The first lady, he told her she had some things to work on. He was going to send her to a school to get some straightened out in some of her attitude and things like that. But one of the men was really good, and he gave him a $10,000, and he gave him a vacation, but he also gave him a brand new car, because, see, to get to his job, he spent over an hour and a half each day, each way, and it took him time away from his family, which he related to the man that he wished he had more time with his family. And because of him having to get on a commuter train or then a subway or a street car or something, anyhow, it took him an hour and a half to get to work, so his boss bought him a new car so he'd have more time with his family. More time with his family. But you know what? The boss could have had those keys and held them in his hand, and he says, "It's yours, but it is not his until he takes the keys that fits the car and then occupy the car." Am I right? And that's exactly the way it is with the things of God many times. God holds his hand out and he says, "It's yours for the taking. Come and get it." And we stand back. "Oh, you sure about that?
Are you positive?
See, the thing about it is, as the children of God, we need to realize that God has went through the extreme for us. He paid the price with his son. Jesus paid the cost for us. And it's for us to respond to and receive. But the second thing, not only is it a purchase piece, it is also a particular piece. That means it's something special, particular. Ephesians 2:14 states this, if you want to turn there and look, says, "For he is our peace, who hath," past action with future results, "who hath made both one," and "hath," past action with future results, "broken down the middle wall of partition between us." What is Paul saying there in Ephesians? He is our peace. That's why it is a particular peace. A particular peace. Jesus also said in John 14:27, he says, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled or perplexed," or don't allow it to worry, "but respond." What Jesus says is, respond to me and you can know and have peace. 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 Wonderful peace. Coming down to the Father above. Floods over my soul, as that song goes. And the thing about it is, when we realize that the person of Jesus Christ can bring about the sense of that completeness in our life, because that's what it's all about, being complete. And the scripture tells us that we are complete in him, in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we ought to have that peace as Paul talks about. Look how Paul explains it in Philippians 4:7. Look what he says there. Turn there with me just a moment. Philippians 4:7. If I can find it. Is it Ephesians, Philippians? Yeah. Ephesians, Philippians 4, 7. There, I'll get to it in a minute. 4, 7. Look what he says there. He says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall," not might, "but shall," do what? "Keep your hearts and mind through" who? "Christ Jesus." Christ Jesus. He did not just use that terminology to be using it. What he was saying is that he knew this peace of God which passes all the understanding the world has to give. And see, that's some of the problem in today. We have those who try to meet around a table or a peace conference or a peace table, and they're trying to legislate or mandate peace. And I will assure you that it cannot be done. The only way, and I said it in the beginning, the only way that a people, a nation, a world can know peace is to know Jesus Christ. And you know what? They're fighting so against him that they will never know what peace is. Never know what peace is. When you're fighting against that which can only solve the problems and bring about what is needed in your life, let me tell you something, you'll never have it. Never respond to it. You never know what it is. And this is exactly what's happening. That's why Paul said what he did there. Look at it again with me. He says in Philippians, what did it say? What did it say? Read it. Philippians 4:7, it says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, the Anointed One, the Son of God." That is the only means and the only method that you can ever have or know what peace is all about. So, the question for us, do you know the keeping power of the Prince of Peace? See, he says he will keep you. That term there means to stand guard, to stand as a sentry, to protect and to keep you in the things of God, in the will of God. It's the sentry that marches back and to make sure that nothing comes to you that is not needed to come. He stands there and he supplies that. He brings that protection in your life. So here, that's what he's saying. He keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Do you know that kind of peace? Then the third thing is, as we move hurriedly along, it's also a possessed peace. When I say possessed peace, I mean, that's what the scripture we read there in Romans. Look what Paul said back in Romans 5:1. It says there, he says, therefore, and we know why therefore is therefore, amen? Therefore, being justified by faith, our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, look what he says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have, that is an action that's already obtained and obtainable. And why he says that is for us to know and to understand that it is through him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is Paul saying for us tonight? If we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we respond to him in faith. The same faith that we respond to Jesus Christ as Savior of our life, if we respond to him and allow him to be Lord of our life, it is only then that he can bring peace to our life the way that God intends for his children to have. I thought about this and thought about this as I studied this text. The reason I believe today that we have so many disgruntled believers, so many that are out of sort and out of line and however you want to categorize it, is because they are not allowing the Prince of Peace to rule in their hearts and their lives. To rule in their hearts and their lives. That's why he used that term, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord means he's the one who is the possessor of, the one who has paid the price, the one who has made sufficient the cost involved for us to know him and also to know that kind of peace. See, in conclusion, look back at Psalms just a moment. Psalm 37:37, easy one to remember. Psalm 37:37, look what the psalmist said. He said this. He says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Mark the perfect man, the usable man is the term used here, and behold the upright, the one who is in a right relationship with God, one who is living in a right relationship with his fellow man. Look what it says. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is what? Peace. Peace. Do you have peace tonight? Have this peace. If you will place your faith in the Prince of Peace, as a person and not a thing, you can have peace. The glorious peace that only God can give. I'll tell you what he can bring. He can bring that stillness and quietness to your spirit that you've never known in the world cannot give. He can bring peace where there's turmoil in your life and the circumstances of your life if you'll only trust him and allow him to be Lord of your life. I kind of wrote an acrostic as I thought about this for peace. P-E-A-C-E in the acrostic form. P is provided by God through Jesus his son. E is exceptional in its value. And it is. A is available to all who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Every man, woman, boy, or girl. C, it is conditioned only by our faith of how we respond to God. Conditioned only on our faith as we respond to God. E, it is eternal in its scope and its reach. There is no ending of the peace that he gives. It will go with us through this life all the way till we meet the Prince of Peace in eternity. Thank God for that kind of peace. I'll tell you tonight, there are some prospects for peace. And the prospect for peace is for you to come to know Jesus Christ. Not know about him in your head, but to know him in your heart. Because if you know him in your head, he could be just a thing. But if you know him in your heart, you know him as a person who desires the very best for you. There's a song, and we sung it before. It goes like this. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. Sing it with me. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. In my soul. In my soul. I've got peace like a river in my soul. And you can have it too by putting your faith and trust in the one who is the Prince of Peace. And he comes for the purpose that mankind can know and have this peace. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful to you, so indebted to you for all the things that you make possible in our life. And Lord, so many times we take things for granted. And Lord, you may be speaking to a troubled heart here tonight. Trouble because of perplexing problems and situations and things they cannot see the end result right now. But I pray, oh God, that they will come to recognize that you can work those things out if they put their faith and trust in you. Sometimes those things, Lord, we bring on ourselves because of our stubborn rebellion and our downright sin. But God, you want to show us your great love that you have for us. And you want to bring that comfort of spirit and that peace that only can come from you to us if we'll allow you. Lord, tonight, I do not know hearts here, but I know you give me the message for some reason, maybe for someone, God, tonight. I pray that you'd have your will accomplished even now as we go into this invitation, because we ask it in Jesus' strong and powerful and saving name, the one that gives peace to any and all who will trust him. In his name we pray. Amen. Hymn of invitation.
Prepare to meet thy God.